Welcome to Hoop of the Song, Season 5, Episode 46, where we watch The Bridge, Season 1, Episode 1. I'm the host, Chris Lorenz.
This is Noah Singer.
This is Brian.
Robert Kitts.
This is James McAvoy.
If this is your first time listening, we watch a different reality show each week, discuss it in minute detail, rate it, critique it, trash it, whatever we want, whatever you want us to do. That's what we do. Rob, what show do we watch this week?
With over 100,000 pounds at stake, 12 strangers come together on the banks of a picturesque lake in the British countryside and have just 20 days to build an 850-foot bridge by hand in the ultimate test of teamwork and trust. That's The Bridge on HBO Max.
Yeah, so this, I guess, is seemingly an HBO Max original, but a BBC original probably as well. Some sort of UK channel is probably the one, and HBO. Anyway, it's somewhat, the show feels like it's got like a Survivor aspect to it. At least that's what they try to put for us in this episode, where they're like, well, there's going to be a vote at the end. But the people on the show don't know there's going to be a vote. So it's very odd. So there's 12 people. They get put on this like camp structure and are told, hey, make a bridge from here to here. So you, and you'll win 100,000 pounds, or one person will win 100,000. That's the only information that they're really given, at least from what we can tell.
Uh-huh.
So they pick a team leader and they start trying to make this bridge. They cut some wood. They make one bridge pattern this whole episode, and there's like a couple that's been made, and that's early. That's about it. That's kind of, you know, you can boil this thing down to 10 seconds, really.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool concept. I've never seen a 20-day long challenge before.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is they're in the Great British Wilderness, as they called it, in the Welsh Mountains, on the biggest lake in Wales. They have 20 days to build this bridge. Do you, realistically, if it was the, 12 of our closest friends, do you think we could build this bridge 840 feet?
No.
No, it seems very hard.
Yeah, we'll step into this. So they made like a 6-foot by 6-foot section of this bridge. And I looked at it, I'm like, there's no way you're going to make that kind of bridge in 20 days, 840 feet. Like, that's just not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. Like, it definitely what they built, it's like, so you're going to build, you know, like 150 pieces of that. And it's like, no, no way.
I think that you could probably define a different structure where you use like maybe 6 to 8 pieces of wood to get 6 feet instead of, I don't know how many pieces of wood. They use like 40 pieces of wood to go.
It was super big. It was half as wide.
Like very excessive amount of wood.
I'm sure they will figure it out at some point.
They have to, they're going to start doing the math and be like, no way we have any shot in hell. They got to make it much more narrow. So it takes very few pieces of wood to get the length.
I am curious if it has something to do with like the level of buoyancy you get from each platform.
There's definitely sections where I think you'll need to have more of a buoyant platform, but you don't need a buoyant platform all 850 feet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But maybe your first one has to be extra buoyant, you know, to get you off on the right foot.
Yeah, the one right next to the land. Yeah, that seems exactly where you want.
Maybe the thing is that's the one that you push out and you just keep, you build pieces, you extend out.
As you build some 3-foot pieces, or three long pieces, then yeah. But that just doesn't seem to be what they're doing.
So the show did a very nice like graphic in your face at the end of being like, so they have 20 days to go to 850 feet. And the graphic says 18 days left, 844 feet to go. So they're on pace to have like 60 feet.
Also, it was a good burn.
Yeah.
It's a very solid burn.
But there's also, it's like the show and the way that the show ended with this sort of people going off to get more tools and the next time on, like, I feel like we're set up for lots of twists. I feel like it's, the show seemed to have this premise of, this is this very simple thing of, we got 12 people, you got 20 days, build the damn bridge, that's the whole show. And I don't think that's what the show is actually going to be. I feel like that's what this first episode set up. And now it's, and so we have no idea how they're going to build this bridge, because it's going to be like, oh, by the way, you can now complete a side challenge and you're going to get like bridge cement, or I don't know what you'd get to help you build a bridge, but like bridge, it's going to totally change.
Yeah, I think that the show of get 12 people and they know what the challenge is and they come in and they're just going and doing it, that would be interesting. Maybe not for like 8 episodes or so, or however many, like a couple episodes. But this show is not that. It's all about like people fighting about who's the leader, who's not the leader, and a bunch of drama about all the people that we like on this, like this shore. And it's very haphazard and scattered. There's no like structure to it. I think that it's a little off-putting in terms of like the drama associated with this show.
I don't think they argued that much about who the leader is. They all wanted the male stripper to be the leader.
Okay, we got to talk about this immediately. Who's the leader? And they choose the 26-year-old stripper. Like, how? How is that the guy you choose?
Because he's the one with the most confidence.
Because he's tall. You choose the tall person as your leader. That's how it works. You know,
they also gave two choices, which I was surprised. Like, only one other guy ran against him.
And it was the 20-year-old, like, clown. Do you want the 20-year-old clown, Max? Or do you want the 26-year-old stripper?
Tell you what, though. That clown, he can put the balloons together. I feel like there's a lot of overlap with the bridge.
All right. Yeah. Let's get back to Rob's point about how, like, this show, like, when they did the opening intro, the show made it seem like they're making this bridge. Like, they, like, the whole show is not like, will they or won't they? It's like, who's going to win this 100,000 pounds? It's not a, will no one win the 100,000 pounds? It's who's going to win the 100,000 pounds? So it's like, I don't even feel like they're going to not do it.
Let's talk about one of our least favorite reality show innovations of the past year, the pre-show this season on. And so this was, like, oftentimes, Chris, we talk about, we don't like this because it's just, we don't know who these characters are, they're showing stuff. This one, I feel like, was a spoiler alert. Like,
oh yeah,
it basically showed the bridge mostly done. I thought it showed someone actually at the money. It's like, I guess they're going to finish the bridge. Like,
what? But, like, yeah, I do think that might be a little of a red herring. I don't know.
It could be a red herring. If it's a red herring, I give them kind of credit for that. But I feel like it's just, it does, I don't think the show is, are they going to finish the bridge? It's like, the producers are going to make sure they finish the bridge. And it's about the drama of how they decide who's the only person who actually gets the money.
No, definitely. I mean, that's how the show feels to me as I watch it. And as James McAvoy, which you're going to get into, is narrating this. The tone of the show isn't, they're like, oh my God, they're running out of time. It's like, James McAvoy is calmly telling us that, oh, they've made 6 feet and they need 850 more feet. They really need to start moving. Like, but it's not, there's no like, it doesn't feel dire. Like, oh, well, no one's going to win this money.
That's just a British thing, though.
It could be.
James McAvoy has the stiff upper lip, you know?
I have a question about this whole, like, them completing the bridge. So I don't think they would ever make a show like this where that doesn't happen, right? Like, they wouldn't make the show and then they just never reach the end.
Well, the thing is, I also don't think you have a season 2 of this show. Because, like, then people are just going to be like, I'm going to prep bridge making skills and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
Well, no, you just sign up. You just sign up like they sign up this time where they don't know what their show is. You're like,
yeah,
surprise, you're on the second season of The Bridge.
I can't believe anybody does that.
I mean, you could also make like a different challenge. Like, maybe they need to make a vertical structure.
know? That's exactly what I was thinking. No, season two, it's up on a cliff, and you gotta build the tower up to the cliff.
No way. Are you trusting people to make their own bridge and doing something where you bump into the deck? Like, why?
I think season two is make your own like rare mineral, earth mineral mine in like Africa somewhere. Just some like thing that people actually need.
Make your own blood diamond operation.
And your prize is some blood diamonds.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your prize is a stake in the blood diamond company.
Did we hear them say, like, when they opened up the note that they had 20 days, or did they bolt this 20 days on afterwards when they found out it took them 20 days?
That's a great question.
That's a good point, Max. So, like, let's get into this section for a second. So they're all at this beach. We'll get into the people a little bit, but like then this flare goes off and we find out that they need to get to the boat where the flare pointed to in 15 minutes or the message like explodes or goes on fire or something. I feel that that's a lie, but that's what they said.
Yeah, it was very unclear how that actually happens because it's just a piece of paper in a crate.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Rules. The ref says, no, you can't touch it anymore.
Is that like a ref that just jumps out of somewhere with a whistle?
The NFL ref comes out from the woods, blows a whistle, takes the box away. So they don't know what their challenge is. And we go on. Like, it's so stupid. It's asinine. So, like, they go to this beach. They don't even know what they're trying to do. And then James McAvoy is telling us, oh, they have to get to this thing in 15 minutes to find out what their challenge is. What producers, what are you going to do if they don't get there in 15 minutes and bring it back? What's going to happen? You're not going to tell them what they're going to fucking do? Like, what? Like, well, you're so stupid. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
The tower's going to fucking explode.
Yeah, the first one where it sets the premise of the show, it's just like, come on.
I want to see that version of the show, though. I want to see. Season two, they don't get the first note. It's just like, what the hell are we doing?
I want to see them not get a note, and I want to see that thing explode. Or, like, just, like, catch on fire.
No, it's like Mission Impossible. Just there's a little puff of smoke and it's just gone. Like it doesn't actually explode.
When they first revealed the flare elements, I thought all the contestants had to race to get to the note, and just the person who got there first would get to read it. Like I thought it was going to be like, you know, one of the secret messages in Survivor.
I think that that's definitely the show is earing more towards like social Survivor game here. But first episode, not too much. They like teased on the next time on that somebody has like a secret, and it probably comes from like the flare or this mission, which we'll talk about, I think, in a bit. But yeah, the flare thing is very stupid. Should we get into some of these people maybe?
Yeah.
We can talk about, I got them written down. Tara, she's 39. She's a waitress. And her sob story is she got COVID and had to go to the hospital.
And went viral.
She's going to die, Chris. It went viral.
It was a sob story, Max. It was sad. She
her
got COVID.
Sob story went viral on the internet, Chris.
Hashtag viral.
Her viral video of her viral infection went viral.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian, you should note that down for our show description.
It was a very good sob story. Like, I feel like calling it a sob story kind of,
but I'm just
underpins it a little bit,
dude. It's been a whole year. My sympathy. It shouldn't be, but it is down. I'm sorry. It's just not the tone of the show I really want right now. Maybe in like a year from now, if you told me you had COVID, I'll have more sympathy with you. But in the middle of this, it's just.
Yeah, it's really off the mark, I feel, just in terms of like what people want to watch.
Yeah.
Who else do we got, Chris?
We got Zach, 26. He's a dancer. Rob, what kind of dancer is Zach?
He's a male stripper.
And an acrobat.
Yeah. What did Sly call him again?
Doughboy.
Dream Boy.
He's
a Dream Boy.
He's also a member of the boy band. The boy band group of Zach, Luke, and Rowan, which we'll get to the other.
The two. Boy band group NSYNC.
Yeah, so he's the leader. He's the one getting, like, let's talk a little bit about his leadership skills here. So he has there's three people like cooking meals because they have to cook by hand. That's fine. And then the rest of the nine people are out cutting wood and like chopping down trees. And like, they have so much bridge to make. The women can be like sewing, like wrapping the pieces of wood and rope and getting all that stuff ready. Like, they're just not going to be that fast at cutting the wood. I just don't understand why everyone is cutting wood. Can anyone explain this to me?
I think it makes sense on the first day. Like, you don't know what rate you're going to be using that wood, and you have to just figure out that ratio of woodcutters to bridge assemblers.
Yep. Yeah, they definitely, like, I think getting things started, like, getting people in the move, like, while you're figuring out your design, you already got to be cutting the wood, because you know, like, that's going
to
be a bottleneck.
Well, no, there definitely needs to be people cutting the wood. I never said that. All the guys need to be out cutting wood. And one person or like a couple people need to be starting this bridge immediately. They need to be like, okay, here's some wood. Let's put this stuff together. See what we got. How are we going to do this? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next day you can start amping faster and faster. And maybe you catch up to the wood. Then all of you cut wood until you run out of wood. Like, it doesn't make sense to have all these women cutting wood at a quarter of the rate and no one's making any bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely don't have like a good assembly line. It's like they can only think linearly. And it's like, okay, we're at step one. Everyone do step one.
And even when they were doing step two, it was unclear. It seemed like a lot of people were involved in step two and they used a lot of wood and a lot of rope. I'd love to see them actually, they were actually given a lot of rope. This challenge would be a lot harder without any of that rope.
Oh, that would be possible.
Yeah.
There was like one of the machines they showed when they got to the place, and I totally thought that they were going to have to like spin their own like rope.
All right. We have a 6-month reality show here.
Yeah. Spin your own rope in 20 days.
I have no idea what that thing was then.
I think it was like it looked like almost like a pasta roller. But it was much
bigger. No, it was for drying clothes.
Oh yeah, laundry stuff. They showed there's old school by hand laundry stuff. That's right.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Let's get back to these people. So we got Sly.
Oh, he's Sly.
60. He's a car fabricator. He's the oldest one on the show by far. And he claims to know what he's doing, but then hates everyone and goes in the kitchen the first day to spite everyone or like wait for people to need him or something is what they imply on the show. Well, yeah. And the second day he goes out and is helping people learn how to cut wood is what we see.
Well, yes. Sly is the kind of person who he feels he knows what he's doing, has a lot of the advice, and he wants everyone to sort of treat him very respectfully and be like, oh yes, thank you, Sly. You know the best. We want to do exactly what you say. And when people don't respond that way, he just like, well, fine. I'm not going to help you at all.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a bit mixed, right? Because he started off where it's like, okay, this is my domain. He's like drawing some schematics and people just kind of like brushed him aside. And so I think it's unclear if they didn't do that at first, he would have the same demeanor.
That's so crappy because, like, I feel like if somebody in your crew, like, can really help kick this thing off, like, that's just helping you get further. Like, why would you not want to take their advice?
Because he's like a crudgety old man. Like, he's not willing to help, Brian. Like,
no, he was willing to help. I think it was because of, like, the dismissal that, like, he was just like, fuck this.
But, like, and obviously it's been edited and stuff. So it's like, how much was Sly just kind of an annoying person in the lead up to this and the rollout of his plan? And that's why it got, like, we don't know the whole story of how it kind of happened, but like, I can see, I can see both. I can see people are just a jerk to Sly for no reason, and you respond this way. I can see Sly was just kind of a jerk because that's just who he is, and he kind of put people off, and that's sort of leading to some of this. But like, it does seem like he knows that, like, there's a question of like, was his plan actually good, or like, was it way too complicated for what they're trying to talk about? But he does seem like he is those knows the most about what needs to go here, and they should be listening to him, even if he's a crotchety old man.
Yeah, he was talking about putting supports on this thing, and I'm like, that's...
He said the word scaffolding, and I'm like, you're putting up some scaffolding with your just giant tree logs and handsaws in the middle of the woods? Maybe your definition of scaffolding is different than what I'm picturing in my head, but this sounds unrealistic.
Like, yeah, if you're making like a permanent bridge, sure, you gotta put stuff in the water, you gotta cement, like, but not if you're just trying to go 850 feet once.
So what are the rules of this? Like, if I just took logs, I just started putting logs in the water, and I just tried to line them up, and they didn't actually connect, but I just tried to walk across the logs. Like, is that do I win the prize? Does that count?
Yeah, I think that if you did a 1-1-1, like, and you just, like, walked there. What I want to know is, say you have three pieces of logs, and you just, like, when you walk past the first one, you put it in front of the next one, and you just keep, like, doing that to get there.
I want to see the person who you think can do that. It's going to be so heavy.
I mean, you can do that with platforms, but in any case, I'm sure they have the ref there saying, nope, not.
I'm just picturing the NFL ref coming out there. Or maybe it should be a soccer ref with his yellow card.
I actually want, like, the Indian matchmaking screen to come out to be like, let's go over what the rules of this bridge are, and like just put it up on the screen and be real sarcastic about it. Like that's what we need here.
What is this bridge's wants and what are its needs?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like the bridge rules are probably fungible in terms of like they're not going to do it in 20 days, so they need to be a little more like liberal with their bridge rules.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already identified that the way the game is structured today, it's going to have a lot of twists and turns, especially what they showed in the coming episode, that they're going to like offer them some money to like cheat, and new people are going to come in. Like, they're going to throw in a lot of surprises.
Yeah. Let's talk about our next contestant, Billy. She's 30. She's a publicist, and her mom is a famous British TV host of some show called The Trisha Show.
Yeah.
I don't know what The Trisha Show is, but it seemed like a Maury-esque show.
They mentioned Maury at some point.
Yeah.
Her thing is, her and Sly don't get along at all. Anytime Sly's like, hey, we're not going fast enough, somehow these two get in a fight and Elle and Sly needs to leave. It's edited very poorly that I have no idea what happens, but that's what always happens.
Mm-hmm. So she's at some point, people think if you're the daughter of a celebrity, your life is easy, but that's not true. Does she ever elaborate on what she means by that?
She was arrested once, Rob.
Oh, was she?
It was very traumatizing. Mm-hmm.
What was she arrested for?
She was double the speed limit.
She didn't say.
She was arrested for
they do like tee up her character to be like, you don't know how hard my life is.
Yeah. They have to tee up a reason for them to like try to win, or like you for to root for her to win the $1 million, or she needs to try to get some sympathy because she was a bratty daughter. Like, I don't know. It's very unclear why her life was so hard.
It is just one correction, Chris. 100,000 pounds does not equal $1 million.
Did I say $1 million?
Yes.
Sorry.
It's all right.
I didn't mean to say $1 million. Everyone knows. The audience knows. Everyone's
maybe the
listening.
Twist is it actually turns out to be $1 million. You don't know.
Maybe I'll just go in and edit myself saying $100,000. Now you'll sound like a fool. Let's talk about our next contestant. We got Rowan. He's 20. He's a graduate of high school. He's unicycle broke, and he'd like to buy a new unicycle.
This dude sucks ass.
And he's a masterful liar. He's a self-claimed masterful liar. So he's ready to play this game, and he's ready to win. Rob, do you believe in this guy?
The self-proclaimed professional clown? I'm not sure I believe in this guy.
He is also part of the boy band. This really cements his place in the group.
Do you think the boy band alliance is going to sing a song at some point to really cement themselves as the boy band?
They got to dance, though. It can't just be them singing.
I mean, we all know Zach can dance. That's what I've heard, anyway.
Well, there was a point where I think at least three of them were going in the hot... There's a hot tub of some sort. They were going to go in this hot tub, and then the flare went off, and then they couldn't go in the hot tub. Unclear.
And they were in a good position because they already had bathing suits on.
I thought that was just their boxers. Anyway.
I think it was actually one of these, like, I've seen a hot tub where it's wood powered. Like, you have to burn wood in a compartment underneath to get it hot. And it's because this, like, the premise, there's no electricity, everything's by hand. So I bet it's a wood powered hot tub, which is interesting.
If you chop some extra wood, then you get some hot tub time.
Yeah.
That's why Zach wants to chop so much wood. It's like, I need it for the hot tub.
There was a bunch of chopped wood already, it seemed, for fires. So they didn't need to chop wood for that. It was unclear.
This probably isn't going to get you too far, but they had all this pre-chopped wood for the fire, which to me, I'm like, that's wood to start making the bridge.
I don't know. You don't want to use, like, those small cuts of wood, though. You want some long cuts. I don't know why they didn't start chopping down trees and then just making like a 50-foot long one, but that would be hard to like maneuver, probably.
But then you can use the firewood as like planks.
You could do that. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Mora.
She's not Schitt's Creek.
Sorry. She's 20. She's a hotel entertainer. And her claim is that she's from Ireland.
Okay.
What her claim?
Yes, her claim. Max?
What is a hotel entertainer?
I don't know.
The two options I can think of are she's the lady who plays piano in the hotel restaurant, or she's a call girl, and that's a fun...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Maybe. Yeah. It was interesting because they put that on the show like several times to make sure we know that Mora is a hotel entertainer.
Okay. Based on when you Google hotel entertainer, I think it's like a hotel that's like a resort that has like activities you do. You help lead some of the activities. And so you're, doing things with the tourists and stuff.
You take them on like tours of the Irish Isles.
Maybe she walks around in like a Minnie Mouse costume. Maybe she's at Disneyland.
Maybe. Disneyland, Ireland.
The only thing that's interesting about her is that she starts kind of in a relationship with Luke, and she's sent on this mission. Rob, can you explain this mission to us? Let's dig into this.
So leader Zach gets a flare note that says he has 50 minutes to pick two people to go on an overnight mission that will allow them to bring back tools and supplies to help them build the bridge. And so it seems like this is pretty important to help them, make more progress on the bridge. And his thought is, overnight mission, huh? Well, let me send the two people that are kind of in a couple because it's overnight. That sounds fun. And he's like, what are you doing, man? You need to think about how you're going to build this freaking bridge.
I believe Billy was very upset that the group was not consulted at all on who should go on this mission.
And the note was very clear. It was Zach's call. And Zach is like, I don't need 15 minutes. I've made the call.
And I like before when he's introducing himself, he's like, I'm going to be democratic. We'll get everyone's participation. Cut 10 minutes later. I can make this call in 15 minutes, like immediately.
It seemed like both of them were embarrassed that they weren't called out to go too. So, so
interesting thing about this is, so we have we have confessionals of people saying how Luke and Mora are getting close. And we have this thing where, you know, they get sent on the mission together. And everyone's like, oh, of course. We don't see them interact, like, at all. Like, nope. Why don't we get to see, like,
what is this happening?
Them, like, hanging out and getting close. Like, it's an odd editing choice.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they're just really good at getting away from the cameraman.
You know? Maybe.
No, they're not. They have cameras everywhere.
Well, so let's... And the camera aspect, when you're on Survivor, every single person on Survivor has a cameraman. Like, everyone, you're always being followed. There's no way around the cameras. Do you think that everyone here has a camera? I don't think so.
No. No, I just think they put GoPros everywhere. That's it.
Yeah, so that's easy. You find those if you want to. You want to make out with a nice, lovely lady? I'm sure you can find a spot where there's no cameras.
Yeah, like, it's interesting because this show, the cinematography is very good. Like, compared to other reality shows, this is like leaps and bounds.
Oh, better. Yeah, this is gorgeous.
The editing, though, to his point, the story editing, very patchy, right? Like, you're not really sure. Like, they just, like, are literally telling you the story rather than showing you and you picking up the story.
Yeah, I could say the tone of the show is terrible. It's like a flat documentary, and you're like, "Wait, like, what am I watching? Like, are we watching, you know, a documentary in like the, you know, World War One right now? Like, why are we, like, serene shots here, and just like flat out telling us stuff, and like James what? McAvoy just like just mumbling? I'm just so confused."
I kind of like the tone. I've there's this thing about the show. There's two shows here. There's the sort of stripped down 12 people got to build a bridge. You build a bridge, you get the money show. And that show aligns very well with a serene sort of documentary kind of calm. I think James McAvoy, we talk more about James McAvoy. We talk about those, but like, I think he's bringing good stuff to the table there. But then there's the fact that, like, that's probably not the show that this is. This is some drama, twists, relationship stuff show. And that feels jarring.
I agree. If, yeah, maybe the tone would be better if it was, like, moving. It's just, like, not moving. There's not a lot of, I don't really see a lot of bridge making. And I want to see some bridge making.
Maybe you gotta watch another episode.
Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Let's talk about briefly about the rest of the contestants. Let's talk about Luke, the other half of this relationship. He's 26 and he's a plumber, and that's all that's all we know about him.
Good for him.
And he likes Mora.
And he's in the boy band group, right? He's the third guy.
Oh, he's a third boy band member. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a 98 degrees kind of boy band with three people. I'm not sure if those are three people or not, but I think we got Julie. She's 28. She's a junior fashion designer.
Junior.
That's all I know about her.
I think that's really going to come in handy with the bridge build.
She can, you know, she could be good at sewing. She could be good at mending the things together.
I that was not a joke.
Okay. All right. I thought it was a joke. So just clarify.
Yeah. I also find it odd that on the show they had to specify that she's a junior.
Yeah, that's like junior.
Why?
You can't just throw out the title of fashion designer willy-nilly, Noah. That is a prestigious earned title.
What if she only designs clothes for kids? Like junior fashion.
I don't think that's it, but I hope it is.
Could be. Max solved it.
All right, let's move on to Sarah. She's 44, and I wrote down business. I don't know what her thing was.
Yeah, they said she's a business owner and an ex-military chef. So she was preparing some of the foods during the show.
Okay, there we go. And the Dominique, 21. She's a politics student. That's all we know about her.
She provided some commentary during the show, and that's about it.
Yeah. And those are nine people. The other three people didn't get any of their names. So they weren't really introduced on this episode of the show. Which, in our defense, in their defense, I think that introducing nine people in one episode of TV is very reasonable. 12 people can get a little, it's a lot.
Sure, yeah, I'd buy that.
All right, Rob, we've been tipping it over a little bit. Let's talk about James McAvoy.
Yeah.
TSM.
Max, can you do James McAvoy saying the word bridge?
Bridge.
That was pretty good.
Thanks.
So this is one of these, like, James McAvoy is not credited as the host. He is the narrator. So you don't see James McAvoy. He's just doing voiceover. And he's doing his, he's got the thick British accent. Or I don't know if it's British or Scottish, but.
Sounds Scottish.
Sounds Scottish.
And his last name is McAvoy.
Yes. That is stereotypically Scottish. You're right. I think it's, I like it. I like the way he's doing it. I like his kind of, you know, serene, very Scottish pronunciation and the way he's kind of talking about things. I think he's adding to the show, and he's, you know, unlike sort of the disembodied Amazon Alexa narrators we see in like the Netflix shows. I feel like this is pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, wasn't he in The Last King of Scotland?
I believe so. That's the one with Whitaker. Is that right? Forest Whitaker?
Oh yeah. I never saw it, so I don't know. But
so sure. James McAvoy as Charles Xavier, right? In the better.
Yes.
It's a very different accent in that.
Yeah. In the better X-Men movies. Well, not better. Just some more of my favorite.
Some are better, some are not better. Like, he's in a lot of X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, Patrick Stewart is the other one. Charles Xavier, right?
Yeah.
He was good. He's good too. Both of them are good. Don't tweet at me, okay? I say they're both good. Leave me alone. What else? Has he been in anything else?
He was in Wanted.
Oh,
That's how he first became someone whose name I knew.
Yeah, he was. I'm looking at his IMDb now, but like Atonement was very big. That definitely got him a little bump.
I don't know if I'd say Atonement was very big.
He's in the Unbreakable Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. He's other Unbreakable guy.
Split. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm not sure he's adding a whole lot to this show. At least in episode one, to be honest with you.
He's a like fine choice.
He's like setting the tone, and I'm not a huge fan of the tone. And if you like the tone, you'll like him. I think this is really where it's at. But to your point that you brought up, Rob, is that like there's two shows fighting here. There's the Build a Bridge show, and then there's the catty, somewhat catty drama around who's doing what. Who's banging who, like, kind of stuff that's going on that they're not doing a good job of editing and showing to me.
Right.
I think that's the biggest weakness of this show.
Chris, he's also Lord Asriel.
Oh. Anyone have any other minutiae they want to get to before questions? Because this episode ends where they go do this challenge, and we don't know if they get through the challenge or not.
I do have one thing I wanted to talk about. So they were going on about how when first explaining the rules, they said, you know, you can't sail there, you can't swim there, you have to walk to the island. And my initial thought was like, you know, how can I get around these rules? And I started thinking, like, you know, Zelda 64 iron boots underwater, you can walk to the island. That's how I'd do it.
Yeah, but like, what if you just hop on a raft and the raft just ends up getting you there? Like,
that's sailing there. That's clear. That's
you didn't sail. The thing just moved. What if it eventually just gets you there?
I think that's a clear violation.
I mean, obviously it's a clear violation, but
what if you like?
You just walked.
What if you shot an arrow with a rope and then you roped your way across?
I think that would be a bridge, right? Like, I think you need two ropes though. You need like a top rope and a bottom.
Oh, yeah, rope. One of those. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But for 850 feet, whew.
You got to have a real strong archer, you know. Zach could do it. Zach pulls back with the, you know,
Don't even need, Brob, you don't even need to do that. You can canoe there, put the rope there, and then canoe back. You just have to from shore walk there. It's not like people still canoe in the show, right? Here it's not go. Saying you couldn't get to the island. Just like in order to win the money, you've got to walk there.
We've got Chris, you and I, we can get this money. Let's go.
Yeah.
Do it.
We could how many, is it the quickest? Just the two of us, we just go? We go on the other side of the island and we start our own bridge. Screw your bridge.
But then would they vote us to win the money if we didn't let them have our bridge?
They really need to, like, this show, I think, would be next level with two teams. Really needs to be two teams. There needs to be some sort of driving factor to get these fucking guys off their asses and get this fucking bridge done.
Two teams, no time limit. It takes as long as it takes.
Yeah.
But one team gets there first.
We need a TJ Lavin out there at the end of the day, be like, you guys are a disaster. Get your shit together. Get this bridge going. You've gone 6 fucking feet in 2 days.
I think they need you out there.
Yeah, I'll be out there. I'll be out there with my rope bridge getting it done in like 4 days.
Show him, Chris.
I vote you the leader, Chris. Don't worry. I'll choose you over the stripper.
No, I'm just going to be sly and be like, you guys disrespect me. I am not going to be the leader. Not going to try to be the leader.
I mean, I can see it.
Definitely. All right, let's get to questions.
Is this time to bring up minor minutia, or is that coming?
No, we'll do some minor minutia on this one.
Okay.
Let's get to who's the worst human being?
Rowan.
Yep.
Who?
Rowan?
The dude who...
The unicyclist? Oh,
yeah. The self-described master liar. Masterful liar.
He likes to think himself the main character.
Yeah. The whole main character thing, I don't like that at all.
I agree. I think you're right. Any other contenders?
I mean, I think both Zach and Sly got a lot of screen time and, you know, some things they did well, some things they don't do well. But I don't think either of them would take out Rowan just being sort of universally kind of a D-bag.
I do think, you know, I think Sly gets up on that list just because he can help. He says he can help and he doesn't. He refuses to help. And the whole goal of this whole thing is to make this bridge. Like, you seem like a huge D-bag by not helping. Right?
Yeah. It's like, we don't know enough of the whole backstory to know there's a version where Sly is totally in the right and everyone else is wrong and he's very justified. There's a version where he is totally in the wrong and probably the real answer is somewhere in the middle. But we don't know enough to really judge.
He just seems like he holds a grudge. But yeah, Rowan's definitely our number one there. Is this the apex downgrade for James McAvoy right here?
I mean, I think it's definitely a downgrade.
Like, I mean, 100% a downgrade. Like, it's not really a question.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think he comes off pretty well. And, like, he definitely he doesn't have to be there for the actual filming. He busted out like an afternoon and got his paycheck. So, you know, it doesn't really look bad on him, but it's a downgrade for sure.
It is a big show. So it wasn't on the BBC. It was on Channel 4, which is similar, you know? So it's like pretty decent, but yeah, definitely not Apex.
let's do favorite minor minutia. Since you brought it up, Rob, what do you got for me?
So when Zach is first describing his life as a stripper and a stripper things, they cut from that to a shot of a bunch of roosters. And I thought the implication there was nice.
Beautiful.
I've got one. So they were introing the whole camp. They're like, everything's got to be done by hand, you know, from cooking to brewing your own beer. And I was like, In what world are you brewing beer in 20 days? Why would you even care about brewing beer in 20 days? You are here to make a bridge.
Well, they didn't know it at that point.
I know. Well, I mean, no one knew. This was the narration telling us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It's not a bad way to use some grain.
Yeah, it's just like the beer you can brew in 20 days isn't going to be very good. It's not going to be done.
Here's a minor minutia. If you control F on James McAvoy's Wikipedia page, there's not a single mention of the word bridge.
Not surprising.
Add Brian, it, Max. Add it.
Brian, you have a minor minutia.
So Zach just got elected team leader. His first action as team leader is to get a chain massage going.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real bold thing to do as your first action as leader. But of course, he like says with consent, and which I did like, but man.
You know, that's a stripper thing, you know.
You always got to ask for consent, otherwise you don't get paid.
Loosen everyone up. No way you have a minor minutia.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, they were doing the character intros. I think it was Sly. I'm just saying, like, I'm boxless. You can't put me in a box. I'm boxless. That people can't define him. And I really enjoyed
that. I'm pretty sure that's true. Brian, yeah.
Okay. I seriously like, let this slide for like everybody. How did nobody not bring up the fake sex sounds? Like,
I was saving it for Max. Man. I thought Max was going to do it. I'm glad you brought it up, Brian.
That was so good. Tell us about it, Brian.
Yeah. So the camera's like panned out. All you just hear are like moans, and it's highly implicated that something's going on, probably between Luke and Mona. But then like it pans to somebody in the shower with like this cold water, and it's like, okay, that was a really, really good prank on us.
That makes up for all the other bad edits.
It's true. Yeah. It was pretty good.
It carried on for like a decent amount of time.
Like enough that I said it out loud. Is that sex sounds? And then it's like them in a cold shower.
No, with clothes on, by the way.
Can you give us an impression with clothes on? Was like?
No. You can.
If tune in after the credits.
Okay.
Does anyone have any cringeworthy or baffling moments I want to talk about? I think that was obviously one of them. All right, let's move on to our next question. Drinking rules. I don't have one off the top of my head. So, Rob, what do you got for me?
I think every time someone is just chopping a piece of wood, you got to take a drink.
Oh, that's a good one. Max, you have one?
Every time they build a piece of the bridge, take a drink.
Noah, you got one?
It won't be as applicable to this episode, but every time somebody breaks down because they think the challenge is too hard, take a drink.
I think I'm going to use a stock here. Every time they go to a confessional, take a drink. I think that's probably a good one. Brian?
You're muted. I mean, another good one is like the sob story. Like that's one of our standards.
Oh, yeah.
I think the hard mode on this one is drink every time someone says bridge. Maybe just if James McAvoy says bridge. It's just like every time bridge, you know, like, oh.
The bridge.
So production schedule. I mean, we know it's roughly 20 days, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a plus or minus a couple days in there probably.
This is the thing. Like, if they have 20 days to get to the money, and we assume they get to the money, it's unclear how much time there is between they get the money and they do this vote to determine the winner. So theoretically, it could go on, but I can't imagine that's going to go much past.
Well, we already know it's 21 days because they get to the island on one day, and then they have 20 days starting the next day.
Yeah.
I'd imagine 22 maybe days for this. Like the contestants for like the whole setup probably takes a couple weeks to do the setup.
Yeah.
Chop all that firewood. Take a while. Let's do what's inspired this show. What are the show's parents?
I mean, clearly Survivor is one of them.
Definitely Survivor for the one aspect of the show. Is like the real world the other? Is it like a combo of both?
I mean, I would say the real world is the parent of Survivor, is one of the parents of Survivor.
I mean, kind of.
Right? Like,
sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this other aspect of the show comes from.
I got kind of a vibe, like the show where they just build the bridge vibe. Like, I got kind of a vibe of the show Alone, which we did, where like people are out in the wilderness. There's this, the, you know, there's just kind of a narrator. There's the words on the screen. Like, there's definitely some vibes of that in terms of them going for the like outdoorsy aesthetic vibe.
We have watched a show where in the episode we watched, they build a bridge. It's like some Alaska homesteading show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I forgot the name of that show. Is.
Last 6 months or so.
It's definitely a recent show. COVID, tell ya. It's been a rough year, guys. I need all your sympathy. We've done a lot of these. I'm not sure how much further I can go.
What about the episode of Top Gear where they build a bridge?
What about the FX show, The Bridge?
What about Bridge of Spies?
All right, guys. All right.
There are a lot of bridge shows. When I did my initial Googling, I was like, oh, boy, these are all incorrect. I had to really, like, get that query down just right to bring up
bridge, the results of the show. British reality TV show.
Yeah. What about Fast Times at Bridgemont High?
Oh.
All right. Would this show be better as a Quibi? Max, give it to me. What do you think?
I have no opinion.
I think it would be better. I think you drop the drama piece and it's just about the bridge.
No.
But also then you want to have like 30 episodes of people building a bridge.
Yeah.
No, I mean you could easily cut 30 minutes out of this show.
This is not a Quibi show. I think this is very clear. No, not better as a Quibi.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Same page. Not a Quibi show. Reason being, one of the highlights of this, as I mentioned before, is the cinematography, these big widescape shots. That's not meant for a Quib.
All right. Let's get into our last question, our ratings. We do a stack ranking system where we do top, middle, bottom, third compared to other reality shows. Some people do rankings in their rankings. Noah, why don't you start us off?
This show was a banger. It's going in the top. I'm going to put it in the middle of the top. What's keeping it from the tip-a-tip-a-top is that story editing. Right? Like, they just kind of threw these plot points at you without much buildup, and I think that could be improved. But otherwise, great show. It's 6 episodes, definitely finishing it. So I'm glad we watched it.
Ryan, what do you got for me?
I'm also going to put it in the top. I'm going to put it in the bottom of the top, though. I think it has its flaws, but this is genuinely unique, and I want to see how far they get with this bridge, even though they probably spoiled it for me.
Rob, what do you got for me?
So I'm somewhat torn. As we've been talking about, there's two shows. And the one show, the just 12 people just got to build a bridge show, is the kind of show I'm really into. Of it's kind of an off-rails, it's not well guided. You kind of don't know where it's going. Maybe they're just going to fail and not build a bridge. How's that a show? And I'm really into those kind of shows. And I feel this episode is more focused on that. I feel like it's going to be less and less of that show as it goes on. I feel like this is a show you watch one episode. You're like, yeah, this is different. This is kind of fun. I like it. And then by the time you get to the end, you're like, ah, that kind of sucked. But you know what? I'm going to, based on the one episode I've seen and the show it is, I'm also going to put it at the top, but if I watch more, I feel like it would end up getting downgraded, but I'm going to stick with that.
Max, what do you got for us?
Top third, bottom of the top. Has potential, a little bit too much drama. I think it'll streamline into the show we want it to be later on, personally.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might have to be the lone dissenter on this one. I'm going to put it in the middle. I think that the editing is a little weird. The tone isn't the show I want. I want to know what they're doing about the bridge, and I want people to be yelling at them for not doing enough. And I don't care about this relationship. and Sly is weird. Like, I just want people to be making this bridge, and I'm yelling at my TV and they're not doing it. And it's really frustrating. So it goes in the middle. For that reason, Max, you might be right. By the end of this episode six, just like them all making the bridge, or it's just like the producers are like, you made it halfway and it's fine. You did it. You get somebody wins, you get the vote. Like, who knows? It could be that. I don't know.
Anything's
the real possible. Bridge was the real bridge with the relationships we made along the way.
Mm.
Oh man, Brian.
Yes, Brian.
I would like if that's how they end the show, Chris. Like, you made the bridge. You did it. It's exactly you said it.
I mean, that's the tone of the show.
You did
right?
It.
Am I wrong? All right. Let's get to shout outs. Noah, do you have a shout out this week?
This week? Oh man, I go to someone else. I was not prepared.
Max, do you have a shout out this week?
Come back to me.
All right. A shout out this week. I watched the new show on HBO Max, which I'm also not prepared to give you. I will in a minute. But it is the new show. I am definitely not prepared. Brian, go.
Okay. So I watched episode two of the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And I got to say, I'm liking it. I'm all in.
What's got you in?
Like, it's just a really good, like, feel-good story. Also, you get, like, more Gordon Bombay action.
Brian really loves watching teenage boys on ice.
Well, when you put it like that, now I don't think I can watch it. Why the hell would you do that to me? I want something uplifting and you're trying to burn me. but also, my secondary show, I was going to say that, like, we got the subscription to Paramount Plus for a year. And on there, I was checking out some of the old Nick Game shows, like Legend of the Hidden Temple and Guts. So, like, also watching teenage kids doing sports is maybe not the best.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say that after my comment.
Do we need to do Guts on the podcast, Brian?
This would be awesome.
Game shows? I feel like we need to do... What was the kids where they just, like, had a field day? What was that show called?
Oh, fuck.
The Magic School Bus.
No.
And they're all wearing different colored shirts?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I think you are thinking of Guts.
No.
Like, they participate in, like, Olympic-style events.
No. It's just, like, kids on a field, like, doing some team-based games or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy kids.
That's more... That could be more of a... I don't know. A lot of that's just game showy. Anyway, the show I was trying to say is Made for Love. It is a HBO Max show where a woman, or like there's a couple, and it's like a kind of Black Mirror-esque plot where the husband implants a chip in this woman and can see, see what she sees and like sees her and like reads her mind. And she like tries to run. She's like running away from this guy at this point in the show. Happens episode one. And it's just the plot of the show. But the tone is like kind of women empowerment. And like she's getting away, like in terms of what is it? It's a good word for it. She's just getting away no matter what. And it's kind of fun to see how she gets away. So I recommend it. Three episodes are out.
Yeah, I saw episode one. I enjoyed it. I'm kind of over, like, you know, evil Mark Zuckerberg as a villain, though. Like, it's super played out. But nonetheless, Christina Milioti is always very entertaining.
The second show I'd like to talk about is The Challenge All-Stars. Season one, even though they already had an All-Stars, this is a new All-Stars. Is on Paramount Plus, as Brian was mentioning. Paramount Plus. There's also a fantasy for this show, fantasychallenge.com or thefantasychallenge.com. Pretty interesting. First episode was essentially The Challenge, so if you like it, you'll like it. But it was funny to see, like, they're all 40 plus, so like the first challenge they had to do was like swim out into like this cold water, and like no one could do it. And it's always funny when the challenge producers come up with a challenge that like no one can do, and I feel like that's just going to keep happening. So there you go. Rob, you have a shout out this week?
I'm 4 episodes into Lupin, so I'm almost done with that. I feel like it's actually like the first 2 episodes are better than the next two episodes. So I don't know if this is like losing steam or if it like picks up on the 5th. There's only 5, so I'm almost done, but definitely a good show, but it's from like months ago, so everyone's already done talking about it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I definitely shouted that out. Noah, you ready now?
Yes, I am prepared. I finished WandaVision. Very enjoyable. I would give it a shout out. I'm sure I'm the last person to watch it, but you know, if you haven't watched it, I'd watch it.
Max, we good? No good?
What'd you think about the end of Search Party S1?
Search Party Season 1, very, very good. Like, it's like a weird show to get into. It's very different. And then there's just like at some point, you know, the show like hits a point and then it has to zag because fucking crazy shit happens. And then more crazy shit happens and it zigs. So, you know, in the zigzagging it's very cool. Definitely a show worth watching. Rob, I see your favorite shows. Is it back or is it coming back? Your laundry.
It's been back for weeks. I'm not watching.
What? Okay. How are you not watching it?
Are we talking about The Masked Singer?
We're talking about The Masked Singer.
There is a Masked Singer spoiler I need to discuss with you guys.
Well, let's do it.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't look at it, Max. So
okay. So there is, you know, a Masked Singer who is the giant snail. So, you know, the giant snail gets unmasked and inside is Kermit the Frog.
What?
How does this work? That's not fair. You can't have a fictional character.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Rob,
it's so dumb. I kind of like it.
That's amazing. Rob, why not? What happened? It was you're like, you watched it religiously.
As I said, if you listen to the pod when Masked Singer season 4 ended, I was kind of losing some steam on it. And like, you know, Chris, you know, when we watched The Masked Dancer, you were outraged by the fake crowd COVID quarantine situation. And like, I went through a whole season of that. Do I want to go through another whole season of it? I don't know.
They might not be doing it. You don't
They're definitely doing it.
They could have a crowd now. Probably they could. I don't know where they filmed.
They definitely don't have a crowd now.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right.
But like this, I was curious if I didn't watch it, how long would it take me to just like, I'm not trying to avoid spoilers, but like, how long would it take me to find out someone got unmasked? And the answer was till today.
Till Max told you. Sorry. But I'm sure there's like a ton of people that you'll like never know who they were on the show. Like, if Pippi Longstocking was on the show, we would never tell you because we wouldn't care. Right?
How did Kermit the Frog get unmasked so soon? He's a good singer. That doesn't kind of make sense.
He was unmasked in season 5, episode 1.
Episode 1. Oh man.
Because he was a gimmick. Rough. He needed to get out of there at once.
They put him in to get unmasked episode 1, so it would be an exciting reveal for episode 1, I guess.
Yeah. You gotta hook those people. All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at WhoBeThisOn. You can find us on Facebook.com/WhoBeThisOn. You can email us questions and suggestions at WhoBeThisOn@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next time.
So I'm on the Amazon page for You, the Jury.
Oh, yes.
Wait, there's an Amazon page?
Yes. But
the thing would have been just deleted off the internet.
It's not. It's a page. It's like, this content is not available in your region, which I don't think it's available in any region.
Yeah.
And then there's one review that's 2 stars and just says, was not available to view programs.
What?
Is that 2 stars?
We should leave a 1-star review and link to our podcast.